Stand still for a moment and listen. Can you hear it? That subtle sensation of time passing, seconds ticking away, the inexorable march from past to future. Now, here's the unsettling truth. What you're experiencing doesn't actually exist in the fundamental fabric of reality. Time, as we know it, is an illusion. Not in some mystical sense, but in a precise, scientific way that transforms how we understand existence itself. This isn't philosophy or poetry, it's physics, revealed through decades of careful observation and mathematical rigor. And it changes everything. Picture a simple experiment. Place two atomic clocks side by side, one on your floor, one on a table. Wait. The clock on the floor will run measurably slower than the one above it. This isn't malfunction, it's reality. Time literally passes at different rates depending on where you are. Someone living in the mountains ages faster than someone at sea level. The difference is tiny, but absolutely real. Einstein revealed what we'd later measure. Massive objects like Earth warp time itself, slowing it down. This isn't abstract, it's why gravity exists. Objects fall because they move toward where time passes more slowly, like tumbling into waves when running into the sea. In deep space, where time flows uniformly, things float. The ancient Greek philosopher Anaximander wrote that things transform according to the order of time. For millennia, this seemed obvious, but Einstein shattered it. There is no single time. Your clock has its own rhythm, mine has another. The universe isn't a platoon marching to one drummer, it's 10,000 dancers moving to different songs. So why does the past feel fundamentally different from the future? The answer involves heat. In the early 1800s, Sadi Carnot discovered heat flows naturally from hot to cold, never the reverse. Rudolf Clausius refined this into the only fundamental law distinguishing past from future. Every instance where past differs from future involves heat. Friction stopping a ball, your thinking brain. Heat is time's signature. Clausius invented entropy to measure this one-way flow, the only equation in fundamental physics that knows before from after. Then Ludwig Boltzmann's revelation. Entropy exists because we describe the world in blurred fashion. At the atomic level, there's no distinction between past and future. Time's arrow emerges from our limited perspective, from what we cannot see. When you look at someone nearby, you're seeing them as they were nanoseconds ago, the time light takes to reach your eyes. Someone on Mars, 15 minutes ago. The Andromeda Galaxy, millions of years ago. So what's happening to them right now? The question is meaningless. Einstein's most disorienting discovery wasn't that time slows with speed or near massive objects. It was that now, across distance, fundamentally doesn't exist. There is no universal present. Our present is merely a bubble around us, existing only because our clocks can't measure time with infinite precision. Between our definite past and certain future lies an expanded present, a zone of events neither clearly before nor after us. Think of family genealogy. You have ancestors and descendants, but most people throughout history are neither. They lived in parallel branches. The universe's temporal structure works the same way. Every event has its past and future, but also countless events existing in that expanded present where before and after lose meaning. For most of human history, time wasn't the tyrant it is today. Ancient civilizations used sundials, but these didn't dominate life. Only in 14th century Europe did mechanical clocks begin regulating collective activities. Even then, clocks weren't synchronized. Only with telegraphs and trains did standardized time zones emerge. This history mirrors a deeper philosophical tension. Aristotle defined space as simply what surrounds a thing. Newton proposed something radically different: absolute, true, and mathematical space existing independently, a vast canvas on which the universe was painted. Einstein synthesized these opposing views. Space and time exist beyond tangible matter. They're real phenomena, but they're not independent from what happens. The gravitational field is the texture that forms space and time, the fabric on which reality is woven. This field can ripple in gravitational waves, contract and expand. When clocks slow near mass, it's because there's literally less gravitational field there. Less time exists in that region. Quantum mechanics obliterates time through three discoveries: granularity, indeterminacy, and relationality. Time is granular, not smooth but choppy, jumping between discrete values like film frames. There exists a minimum unit called Planck time, approximately 0.00000000000000000000000000001 seconds. Below this scale, time ceases to exist. The world is sketched in dots, like a Seurat painting, where smooth curves emerge only when you step back. Indeterminacy makes precise prediction impossible. Between observations, an electron exists in a superposition of possible locations, like a probability cloud. Since space-time is a physical object, it too fluctuates and exists in superpositions. The distinction between present, past, and future becomes uncertain. An event may be simultaneously before and after another, depending on which quantum possibility materializes. Most radical is relationality. Physical properties become concrete only through specific interactions. When an electron interacts with something, it materializes at a definite point. But this concreteness exists only relative to what it interacted with. Time has dissolved into a network of quantum relations, space-time's fluctuating and superimposing, materializing only in relation to particular interactions, then dissolving back into quantum uncertainty. Though time has crumbled, one truth endures: the world is nothing but change. The absence of time in fundamental equations doesn't mean a frozen universe, it means change without Father Time's ordering. Events crowd together chaotically, without neat cues or orderly progression. The best grammar for understanding reality is becoming, not being. Modern physics confirms the world is made of events, happenings, processes, occurrences. Even seemingly permanent things are actually long events. A stone is a complex vibration of quantum fields, a momentary equilibrium destined to disintegrate. The world works better as a network of events than a collection of things. Plato and Kepler tried describing atoms and planetary orbits using geometric forms, beautiful ideas demolished by observation. Both erred by focusing on static forms rather than dynamics. Successful physics describes how things change, not how they are. Things are merely events that remain monotonous for a while. The absence of time doesn't mean immobility, it means happening forms a boundless network of quantum events. We call real only what exists now. Yet the present isn't globally defined. It exists approximately, only nearby. Reality's temporal structure exceeds our grammar's capacity. Change is real, but follows no global order. An event has been relative to me, but is relative to you. Our language struggles with this, as ancient writers struggle describing how up and down shift on a spherical Earth. If time isn't fundamental, what does your watch measure? What flows forward, carrying us from birth toward death? Time emerges from a timeless quantum reality through our particular way of interacting with it. The key insight: time emerges from ignorance. Observing water, we see uniform liquid at a certain temperature, ignoring countless molecules dancing chaotically inside. This blurring creates entropy and determines time itself. Instead of time determining state, our incomplete description determines time. This thermal time emerges from our macroscopic perspective, the variables we track versus those we cannot. Time expresses our ignorance of the world. Like entropy, time isn't subjective, but relative, depending on physical interactions between systems. Perhaps we're special, not the universe. Our particular way of interacting makes entropy appear low in the past. Time's arrow might be perspective, like thinking heavens revolved around us before realizing we were turning. What are we if the world consists of events rather than entities? An ancient Buddhist text explores this through King Milinda and sage Nagasena. When asked who he is, Nagasena claims there's no person behind his name, just a designation. The king challenges, is the person in the hair, nails, sensations? Nagasena counters, is a chariot its wheels, axle, chassis? The king concedes, chariot refers only to relationships among parts. The same applies to us. We're complex processes, reflecting reality through correlations essential for survival. Our nervous systems generate behavior through neural networks that associate stable patterns with recurring structures in sensory input. Things and concepts are fixed points in neuronal dynamics, mirroring aspects of the world. But the essential ingredient of identity is memory, the thread linking present to past. I am not just this momentary flesh. I am my thoughts, my mother's caresses, my father's guidance, my travels, readings, loves. Our brains collect memories to predict the future, placing us between past and future events, what we experience as times flow. Our perception captures something extended in time, condensed in our brains as duration. St. Augustine recognized that while we exist only in the present, past and future live within our minds. Like music, where meaning emerges from surrounding sounds, consciousness operates through memory and anticipation, creating our sense of time and self. Physics reveals no universal present time, passes at different speeds, shaped by gravity. At the quantum level, space and time dissolve into processes. From this timeless foundation, our perception of time emerges through partial interaction with reality. What we call time is one variable describing our scale of existence, where quantum effects vanish and space-time appears solid. Perhaps the emotion of time is what time truly is for us. We are memory, nostalgia, longing. This clearing opened by memory and anticipation is time itself, sometimes anguishing, but ultimately a tremendous gift. It allows us to exist, to become, to be the stories we tell ourselves.